I should have mentioned during announcement time, let's see if I can, if I stand this way, I can protect myself from the sun. Anyway, on the back table are these little booklets. We gave them away at Thanksgiving to all the people that we delivered food to. There on the back, we bought extras so that they could be passed around for you to take them. So feel free to pick one of these up. They're just a series of devotions. There's 10 Christmas devotions from Our Daily Bread. We invite you to take that. And if you want to, pass it on to somebody else or use it yourself. So anyway, we invite you to do that. All right. we're going to be in three separate passages of Scripture this morning. And neither one of which I'm going to read before we start. You can see the title is Don't Miss the Gifts. Next week, we're going to wind up the whole thing with Don't Miss Christmas. And but I wanted you to have an opportunity this morning to talk about the gifts, I believe, that God has given to each one of us that are especially, I guess, more talked about at Christmas time than any other time. So let's pray, and then we'll go ahead and get started. Lord, thank you so much for the time together. I pray that you'll help us as we study your word. Help us to see the gifts that are there as we go through this. As we look at the scripture, help us to see that these gifts are the greatest gifts that you have can give to us and we can share with others. But there are so many people in this world who are missing one or all of them. And so I pray that you'll help us to learn how we might get these gifts, but also learn how to share them with other people. And so, Father, help us to have open hearts, ready to hear what you have to say. And then I pray that you'll help me as I bring the message to overcome the physical, to be able to present that which you've given me to say. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I love Christmas. I'm an unabashed Christmas person. I love the gifts. I love the lights. I love the trees. I love the laughter. I love the movies that come out. I have my own set of movies that I pull out of the archives, I guess you could say, and watch, and I'm going to mention some of those next week. But I love Christmas. One of the things I love the most is the giving part. You know, when you're a kid, you hear it is more blessed to give than to receive, and you go, yeah. You know, I really like getting. But as I've gotten older, and especially as I've gotten, I've had children, and now our family is expanding a little bit, I've enjoyed the giving part even more. In fact, I get yelled at by my family because I don't open my gifts. I set them aside. And it's not so I can stockpile them and then have them all at one time. It's because I get so involved and so enraptured by watching everybody else open their gifts and be so excited about what they get that I don't want to take the time to do mine. I just enjoy Christmas. I enjoy the food. I enjoy everything about Christmas. The one thing that I am totally aware of is there are some people who do not have that idea. And I don't mean the Grinches, you know, that bah humbug on Christmas. I'm talking about the people who just can't enjoy Christmas because of life circumstances. Things have come up and it has ruined Christmas for them. There are three gifts I believe that Christmas offers to every person. And my sadness comes because there are so many people who are missing one, two, or all three of these gifts at Christmas time. And so I want to share those three gifts with you. And we'll be in three different passages of Scripture this morning. And the one that is not on there is where we're actually going to be first. So let's first of all talk about don't miss out on love. Don't miss out on love. Back in 1984, the rock group Foreigner had a song out that says, I Want to Know What Love Is. And it was a heart-wrenching ballad that reached a lot of people because there are a lot of people who want to know what love is. And even today, there are still people who kind of reach out and have their heartstrings tugged because they want to know what love is. They're missing it out. Max Lucado, a number of years ago, wrote a book called When God Whispers Your Name. And in there, he had a what we would call a game show, and it was called "What Is Your Price?" And so here were some of the questions, and the way it worked is these options were given to you. You had a chance to choose one of these options. There was a price, and I'll give you that price in a minute. But here are some of the options that were given people. You could put your children up for adoption. Some of you are saying, yeah. Excuse me. You could become a prostitute for a week, give up your American citizenship, abandon your church, abandon your family, kill a stranger, have a sex change operation, leave your spouse, or change your race. Now, here's the kicker. It was for $10 million. Which one would you choose? $10 million. You can choose that. And the thing is, here's the truth. It was a true survey. It was not a made-up game. What's even sadder are the results of this. Listen to this. 25% of the people said they would abandon their family for $10 million. 25% said they would abandon their church. 23% said they would become a prostitute for a week. 16% said they would give up their American citizenship. And 16% said they would leave their spouse. Excuse me. 3% said they would put their children up for adoption. No comment. Now, that's not counting the 7% who said that they would murder somebody. The 6% who said they would change their race, and the 4% who said they would change their sex. And I realize that some people would argue with those stats, but that's okay. You can argue all you want. Sadly, we even have that issue to deal with. I believe that a lot of people want to experience the one gift more than anything else that we're going to talk about here right now than any other gift, and that is the gift of love. Because as the song said, I want to know what love is. Another song said, you're looking for love in all the wrong places. And so we struggle with this whole idea of love. But the truth is, no matter who you are, whether you're young or old, married or single, rich or poor, white or Hispanic, black, it doesn't matter. Whatever we are, everybody is looking for love. Everybody wants to know that they are loved. That's why John 3:16 is so strong. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But why love? Well, let's turn to Matthew chapter 1, if you would turn there, please. Matthew chapter 1. And I want to give you four things that love does. And we can see them in the story of Joseph and Mary. The first thing love does is love covers sin. Now, you can say, yeah, I can understand that. Love covers my sin. But I want you to consider the story of Joseph and Mary. Here is Joseph and Mary, and Joseph has found out that Mary is expecting a child. He knows that he's not the father, and so he did what many men would have done back in that day. He was ready to walk out. And he would have walked out, except God got his attention through a dream. He had experienced the ultimate betrayal, but instead, love enhanced the message that he had to share, that he had to stay with Mary. And so we can see that there. Her husband, Joseph, was being unjust and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her. But he was willing to cover that, what looked like sin, because he loved her. And that leads us to our second one. Love listens to God. Okay, so he has a dream and he has a choice. Is he going to listen or not? In the midst of his pain, God came to him. That is so true even today. In the midst of our pain, there are so many people who are in pain. In the midst of all that pain, God comes. All he needs us to do is to listen to him. He needs us to hear him. And in this case, Joseph listened. The third thing we know about love is that love believes God. All right, so you're Joseph. Are you going to accept what this is or not? Are you going to trust that what this dream said is true or not? Now, here's the thing. Joseph believed it, but he had to wait 9 months for it to come to fruition. How many times have you and I prayed for something and prayed for something year after year or month after month, and it's not come true? And we sit there and go, well, God, do you really care? Do you really love me? And yet here was 9 months that Joseph had to simply trust God that what he said was true, that there was going to be that Mary was going to have a baby, and Mary is going to, and you were going to name him Jesus because he was going to save his people from their sin. Sometimes trusting is not easy, especially when the answer is not imminent. And Joseph had to trust. And that leads us to our fourth one. Love obeys God. Love obeys God. It's not good enough to listen. It's not good enough to believe. You have to obey. Look at verses 24 and 25. When Joseph awoke from his sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. But he knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. And so Joseph wasn't willing just to hear. He wasn't willing just to listen. He wasn't willing just to trust. He was willing to obey. And that's what love does. There are so many people who are still looking for love in all the wrong places. When they are missing, when they are missing the most concrete evidence of love there is. And that's the birth of Jesus. But that leads us to our second one. I don't want you to miss out on joy. Don't miss out on joy. Alexander Witt was a British pastor from years ago, and he made this statement. He says, "We tend to hang very heavy weights on thin wires." What he means by that is that we sometimes take the weight of our happiness and we put it on these wires that aren't going to last. They're going to easily break. For example, we have someone who's very concerned about their health. So they exercise a lot. They eat right. They don't smoke, or they avoid those who do. If they drink, they drink very little, or in so little they hardly ever do it. And they do everything they can to do their health. They go to the doctor. They hear the C word. You see, life is unpredictable. And so we have a problem, we have an issue with this whole idea of joy. People are searching, but unfortunately, they're not really looking for happiness, or they're not looking for joy, they're looking for happiness, so they think. And you and I both know that there is a difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is dependent on your circumstances. Joy is dependent on not your circumstances, but on who you're clinging to. You can have all the good things in life, but that's happiness. But it's not going to last. Happiness to the world, the Lord has come. Doesn't quite have the same ring as what? Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Unfortunately, we have too many people who are searching for happiness. Go to Luke chapter 1 for a minute, if you would. Let me show you something that kind of stuck out to me, something that I didn't really grasp, because what God does is He answers Zechariah with some joyful news. You know the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, childless. It was a scourge to her to not have a child, to have an empty womb. And yet, God gives them a message of joy. Now, here's what's interesting, and you may know this. First of all, joy is found in God's presence, not happiness. Joy is found in God's presence. But here's the two things. Number one, Zechariah's name means Yahweh remembered. John's name means God is gracious. God remembered an empty womb with a gracious act. He remembered a man who was faithful, and yet he gave them the greatest gift they could have been given. Chris Tomlin has a song with these lyrics. He says, "Joy, unspeakable joy, an overflowing well no tongue can tell. Joy, unspeakable joy, rising in my soul, never lets me go." That's the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is fleeting. Joy is forever. And then the last gift that I want to give to you is, I don't want you to miss out on peace. I want to read a story to you, and I can't tell it as well as it's read, so please bear with me. It's a story of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, and you may have heard this story. He is considered by many people America's greatest poet. Even now, over 130 years after his death, he's still seen as a giant in literature. He's quoted as saying, "Believe me, every man has his secret sorrows, which the world knows not, and oftentimes we call a man cold when he is only sad." And Longfellow was writing from experience. Listen to this, if you would. He was married in 1831, and by 1834, he had a wonderful wife, a dynamic reputation, and a house overlooking the Charles River. He seemed to have it all, and yet within a year of moving to that home in Massachusetts, his wife got sick and died. It took him 7 years before he recovered enough to marry again. With a new love, the good life returned to him. The Longfellows welcomed 5 children into their home, and it was during that time that he wrote some of his greatest works, the Song of Hiawatha and the Courtship of Miles Standish, among others. In 1861, at the height of his greatness, tragedy struck again. While lighting a match, his wife's dress caught on fire, and she burned to death. Then before he could hit his stride, his faith was challenged by the Civil War. He hated the Civil War because it tore at his heart to see the land that he loved, the United States, to be so fractured. Longfellow was an ardent believer in the power of God to move on earth, and he pleaded with God to end the madness. When his oldest son was injured during the war, and while tending to his wounds and seeing others around him doing the same, his prayers turned to rage. He asked his friends and he asked God, "Where's the peace?" And he took his pen to paper and penned the refrain from the song that you and I have heard at Christmas time. "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth and goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." People are looking for peace. People are drinking for peace, finding out that that's not the way to deal with it. People are hopping from one bed to another, thinking that's the way to find peace in a relationship, and that's not going to do it. People are staying so busy so that when they get home, they fall asleep at night so they don't have to think about things. Or we have some people who get into the New Age junk, you know, and they sit in a lotus and look, stare at their nails. Or they get into self-help books, whether you call them Christian or not. What we need to understand is peace is never going to be found in any of that stuff. In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he's pleased." There are two ways that we're going to find peace. Number one, I can have peace when I experience conversion. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Until a person comes to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will never find true peace. We can talk all we want and have all the platitudes of peace on earth, goodwill to men. We can sing all the Christmas carols we want. But the truth of the matter is number one, there won't be peace on this earth. And number two, the only way to true peace is to find it through Jesus Christ. Peace is the absence of conflict. When you come to know Jesus Christ and you are converted to Him, you are no longer God's enemy. Because you're no longer God's enemy, the war is over. Yeah, there's still skirmishes, you know, who's going to control my life? But it takes on a whole different breath. But then there's a second way we can know peace. Is I can have peace when I experience confidence. There's a passage of Scripture I want you to see. And I think it's going to be a good passage, not just to end out the year with, but to start the year with. It's from Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. The confidence that comes from knowing Christ is what makes the difference. There's a calm assurance that comes from knowing Him. There's a peace there that in spite of the storms, in spite of the stuff that goes on, in spite of all the mess that goes on around us, God still knows what's best for us. And we might fight Him. We might not like it. We might say, God, no matter, I don't like what's going on, but I'm going to have to trust You. And there's this calm assurance no matter what we get in the mail. There's this calm assurance no matter what the doctor says. There's this calm assurance no matter what a phone call says that God is in control and God knows what is best for us. Love, joy, peace. Those are the three greatest gifts of all. And you can give all kinds of gifts to everybody this year, but the greatest gifts of all are the three that we've just talked about. It's love, joy, and peace. First of all, understand those gifts come from God. And what you share with other people is His work through you. You love because He loves you. You have joy and can share that joy with others because you have learned it from Him. You can share peace with others. You can get along with others because of God's peace through you. And you understand what it is. So I want to challenge you to among all the gift giving and all the gift getting, that we give the three gifts that matter the most, and that is love, joy, and peace. All right, let's pray. And I've got to save what I've got left for the next service. So after the prayer, we'll just dismiss, and you can stand around and talk and visit if you want to. So let's pray. Lord, thank You so much for this day. Thank You so much for loving us. Thank You for the greatest gift of all, and that is Jesus. We stand in awe, at least I do. I stand in awe of that miraculous gift, that boundless love that You have used, that You have expressed to us through the gift of Your Son. I'm amazed, Lord. Each time I think about that, of how You could love me that much. But I thank You that we can celebrate God becoming flesh, becoming human, that we can learn as we look at that, that is a picture of love, that is the picture of joy, and that's the picture of peace. I pray that You'll help us to turn our lives over to You and be able to simply surrender our hearts to You and say, Lord, I want to know that love. I want to know that joy. I want to know that peace. And Father, I pray for this world. I pray for our community. I ask that You might use us in some way to spread that love and that joy and that peace to folks that we come in contact with all the time. There's so many people who are out there looking for love in all the wrong places. And I pray that they will find that. The only place to find it is in Jesus. So thank You, Father, for this day. Use us this week to take Your message of these gifts to other people and to share them with others. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. I apologize.